Polyester presents the Screen Guild Players. The Lady Esther Screen Guild play tonight, Take a Letter, Darling. The starring players...
This is Linda Darnell.
This is Don Ameche.
And this is Franklin Pangborn.
Tonight, Lady Esther presents the Screen Guild players in Paramount Pictures' fast-moving comedy of office romance, Take a Letter, Darling. It stars Don Ameche as Tom Verney, Linda Darnell as Miss McGregor, and Franklin Pangborn as Mr. Atwater. The Lady Esther Screen Guild players in Take a Letter, Darling. Take a Letter, Darling, opens in the reception room of Atwater and McGregor, nationally known specialists in advertising campaigns. As the curtain rises, Tom Verney is applying for a job.
Good morning.
Good morning. I have a letter of introduction to A.M. McGregor.
Is it about a job?
That's exactly right. The name is Tom Verney and the letter's from Bill Dooley.
Well, looking at you, I'd say you'll get the job. Chump. Hmm? Just a second.
McGregor's office.
Mr. Tom Verney to see you. He has a letter of introduction from Mr. Dooley.
How does he look?
Do you want my opinion as an employee or as a female?
Is there a difference?
Definitely. As an employee, I'd say, mm-mm. But as a female...
Well, run him in and I'll take a look for myself.
McGregor will see you right away.
Thank you. Where is the office?
Right down the hall. You'll see the name on the door.
Come in.
Mr. Verney to see Mr. McGregor.
I know. Give me the letter.
Huh?
I said, give me the letter, Barney.
That's Verney.
Oh, sorry.
It's all right. It's okay. My letter's for McGregor personally.
I am McGregor personally.
And I'd like to... What?
Now, give me the letter and sit down.
Yes, sir.
What was that?
I mean, yes, ma'am.
Go ahead, Barney.
That's Verney.
Whatever it is, sit down while I read this.
You know, Dooley didn't tell me McGregor was a lady.
Is a lady.
I'm sorry.
Did you write this letter?
Oh, no. Of course, I was around when Dooley dictated it. We went to school together.
I see. Then you know that you're, quote, a very clever lad, and I should be able to find a place for you here.
Well, of course, I told him to leave that very out.
Oh, I see, and just make it simply clever.
Yeah, that's right, yes.
Yes, that would have shown the proper touch of modesty.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what I told Dooley.
For the third time, sit down.
Yeah.
Now, have you ever been in advertising before?
No.
What have you done?
Well, nothing. I had an income.
Hmm? And now your piggy bank is empty, huh?
No, not exactly. But it's suffering from malnutrition.
College graduate?
Oh, yes, indeed.
Do you want to be in advertising?
Well, no.
That's a great start. What would you like to do?
Well, I guess I'm childish, but that's my secret.
Stand up. Can you wear clothes?
Well, don't look now, but there's a law that makes me wear them.
Will you please answer my questions and try not to be cute?
You'll pardon me, I'm sure, and fire away.
Do you dance?
Fairly well. No prizes, though.
Have any romantic obligations?
No. That is to speak of.
Well, I'll give you a try. The starting salary is $50 a week.
$50? Oh, thank you, but what can I possibly do around here that's worth $50 a week?
You'll be my private secretary.
Secretary? But look, I don't know a thing about typing or dictation or...
We have plenty of girls in the office who are expert at all those things. Your duties will be more personal.
Oh.
Well, what do you say?
The answer is no.
What?
Miss McGregor, I've admitted I'm here because I need money. But if what I'm thinking is right, I'd rather go out and dig a good, deep ditch.
Mr. Verney, you're sweet. In fact, you're positively precious. But believe me, I won't harm you.
Well, I just wanted to be sure.
Now, before you start, I'd like to have my little say. My last four secretaries went out on their ears because their unusual duties gave them illusions of irresistible masculinity. Do you follow me, or are you way ahead of me again?
I'm sorry.
Good. Now go to Duché, the tailor's, right away. Get yourself a full dress suit. Here's the address.
Tails?
Everything. Tell them it's a rush job and charge it to my account. We are going out tonight.
Oh, but I...
You'd better hurry. You may need alterations.
All right. Where will I meet you?
Just give me your address. I'll pick you up at your place at 7. Well?
Why, I just wanted you to know, you needn't bring me a corsage. Just a white gardenia. That won't clash with my tie. Goodbye.
Be ready at 7. I don't like to wait.
Pardon me, but were you calling for me?
Well, at least you're prompt. That's something. Here's your gardenia.
Oh, Miss McGregor, you shouldn't have gone to all that trouble for unimportant little me.
It's really worth it. You look quite lovely.
Oh, thank you. I'm so nervous.
Get in. Well, this job must seem a bit unusual to you, Vernie.
Believe me, it does.
It is. You see, a woman in business faces many problems, and the greatest problem she faces is men.
Oh. Huh?
You see, I sell advertising to men, and the fact that I'm a woman helps, but it also brings complications.
Naturally.
Mm-hmm. That's where you come in. For instance, tonight, you're saving a big advertising account for me by reassuring a jealous wife.
I'm reassuring a jealous wife.
Hmm? We're dining with Mr. and Mrs. French. Mr. French is advertising manager of Castle Soups.
And you're trying to get the account?
And I will get the account if Mrs. French will stop being suspicious of the time her husband spends with me.
Uh-huh.
And the simplest way of reassuring her that I am only after the account is to introduce her to my fiancé.
Is he going to be there, too?
He is you.
Oh. Oh, I get it. You get the account and I wind up in the soup.
Well, there's nothing underhanded about this. His wife's suspicions are completely unfounded and should be corrected.
All I'm supposed to do is act like you belong to me.
Yes. Of course, you love me, but you're confident.
Oh, naturally, naturally. You know, it isn't every boy has a girl bringing him gardenias.
Don't be coy. But I want you to be sure and give Mrs. French plenty of flattery and attention, and I'll get the account from Mr. French. What's the matter?
Well, I don't feel honest. I don't even feel like a man.
Good evening, Pierre.
Good evening, Miss McGregor.
Have my guests arrived?
Mr. and Mrs. French? Yes, they are seated at your table. This way, please.
Oh, hello.
Miss McGregor, this is Mrs. French.
How do you do?
How do you do?
May I present my fiancé, Mr. Vernie, Mrs. French?
How do you do?
Did you say your fiancé? How charming.
Yes, I hoped you'd like him. He's mad about dancing. Aren't you, dear?
Ouch. Yes. Would you care to dance, Mrs. French?
If Miss McGregor doesn't object.
Oh, why, not at all. Mr. French and I can talk business while we're waiting.
Do you rumba?
Oh, yes. In fact, I'd rather rumba than dance.
Oh, you dance divinely, Mr. Vernie.
Well, may I say that you too can trip the light. Fantastic.
You have a very lovely fiancé, Mr. Vernie.
Oh, yes. Mac's quite a girl.
Don't you ever worry about her? I mean, spending so many evenings in business conferences with men like my husband.
Oh, what is there to worry about? Mac loves me, and I trust her completely. Especially with as fine a wolf as your husband. Incidentally, Mr. French is a very lucky man.
Really, Mr. Vernie? How do you mean?
Well, just imagine the trouble he'd have if a woman like you, in the full bloom of maturity, should suddenly decide to spread her wings.
Oh, spread my wings? Why, Mr. Vernie? What a thought.
What a spread.
Oh, it positively makes me vibrate.
Well, you're probably just warming up for the takeoff.
Oh, Oh, Mr. Verney, you say the quaintest thing.
You're a great inspiration, Mrs. French. I hope Mr. French appreciates you.
Oh, I don't think he does.
I didn't think he would. But then, what man could, really?
Good morning, Miss McGregor.
Good morning, Jeanette. Has Mr. Atwater come in yet?
Yes, Miss McGregor.
Good. If anyone wants me, I'll be in his office. Well, well, how's the other half of Atwater and McGregor?
Terrible, Mac. Terrible.
Well, well, cheer up, and I'll have French's name on the contract before the day's over.
I suppose I should be happy.
Certainly should. Say, you know, that new secretary of mine is a pip. Mrs. French not only isn't jealous of her husband anymore, she's wondering how she can get rid of him. Say, am I boring you? We have just added a brand new million-dollar account to our books.
I'm sorry, Mac, really I am. But last night I met a man who in 10 minutes taught me to hate the world. And him. And myself.
He sounds like a bad hangover. Who is he?
Jonathan Caldwell, Jr., president of the Caldwell Tobacco Company. And after meeting him, I think I'll give up cigarettes. Yeah, that is, when I can get some to give up.
Last year, that was a $5 million account.
Yes, and this year it may be even more.
Well, forget about him. He's not our headache. Justin and Smith have that account tied up for life.
That's what they think. It just so happens that Mr. Caldwell and his sister, who own the whole company, are in town for the sole purpose of changing advertising agencies.
Well, what are we waiting for? Where is he? What hotel?
It's no use, Mac. I told you I talked to him last night. He was very, very firm about it, too. I didn't even get a cigarette out of him.
I see. No ifs, ands, or buts, huh?
Exactly. Exactly, and you won't get anything out of him either.
Why not?
Right now, Mr. Caldwell is paying alimony to 4 ex-wives.
Well, he only needs 8 more to qualify as a San Francisco motorman, doesn't he?
It's gone to his brain, if he ever had one. He not only hates his 4 ex-wives, he hates all women.
Even his sister?
No. No, he just despises her.
Well, if 4 women have managed to talk him into matrimony, I should be able to talk him into a contract.
Now, Mac, you're a more capable woman than I am.
Well, thanks.
Than I am a man. And I wish you'd learn to let me finish a sentence.
Well, go ahead.
Now, there isn't the slightest chance that you or any other woman could sell anything to Caldwell.
Well, I'll see you later, partner.
Where are you going?
To study the tobacco business in general and the Caldwell Company in particular. I'll be up at my cabin.
Going alone?
No, I'm taking my new secretary, Verney.
Mac, I'm convinced now there is no Santa Claus.
What's bothering you, Verney?
A secretary on a weekend with the boss and both of us busy reading.
Yeah. So here are 7 years of Caldwell's life in newspaper clippings. 7 years and 4 wives.
Yeah, I know. 7 years with the wrong women.
No, he hates every woman he meets.
And according to the papers, he meets them all.
Well, anyway, I volunteered to get this woman-hater's signature on an advertising contract.
You'll get it.
Why?
Why? You're different, that's why. And the minute he finds out you're different, he's hooked.
Thanks, but it won't be that simple.
Oh, yes, it will. Wouldn't be for most women, but for you, it'll be a cinch. A woman without emotion can plan like a general in battle.
I see. Verney, tell me something. Why do you work at a job you don't like?
Have you ever been to Mexico?
Well, what brought that on?
There are things down there yelling to be put on canvas, and I think I'm the guy to do it.
Oh? How long have you been painting?
Ever since I was a kid. Trouble is, I paint what I like, and 9 times out of 10, that means no money.
Are you good?
Why, I haven't decided yet. Anyway, that's why I took this job. As soon as I save enough to buy a jalopy and a trailer, I'm going back to Mexico and paint my head off and live by the sun.
I've dreamt those dreams. They never come true.
But they will for me someday.
Well, now I'll tell you something. I write poetry. Well, go ahead and laugh.
Why? All of us are poets. Some of us can put it into words, and some just get a feeling.
I like you, Vernie.
Well, thank you.
Never fall in love with me, will you? I'd hate to fire you.
Oh, don't you worry.
Why do you say it like that?
Well, I couldn't fall in love with you if I wanted to. And I don't want to.
Why not?
Well, you asked for this. Because you're a beautiful brain in beautiful clothes. No temperature, no pulse. That's all.
So I'm a brain with no pulse, huh? Listen, Vernie. I'm a woman. More woman than you've ever known. And if I ever fall in love, it'll be the seed dashing against rocks and lightning flashing across the sky and thunder rolling through the mountains.
I believe you mean that.
Well, it's true. Vernie, what are you going to do?
I want to find out for myself. Come here.
Oh.
Stormy weather, isn't it? The curtain falls on Act One of the Lady Esther Screen Guild Players. And now, the lights go on. Do you welcome those bright lights, or would you rather sit in darkness? Kind, concealing darkness that hides little blemishes. If you want to be proud of your skin, if you want to look and feel radiantly attractive in any light, listen to this message from Lady Esther.
Every time I personally apply Lady Esther face cream to my skin, I think to myself, this cream is really wonderful. I've been making Lady Esther face cream and using it for a good many years, and it's still a thrill of pleasure to see the soft, young finish it gives my skin, the clarity and translucence on which face powder looks so beautiful. That's why I say to you, make the Lady Esther patch test. It will tell you more in a half a minute than I could tell you in a half a day. To make the patch test, you just rub a little Lady Esther face cream on one patch of skin, like one cheek. Then you wipe it off. And with it, you wipe off all the dry flakes, all the dead, clinging particles nature is trying to throw off. Run your fingers over that cheek and feel the difference. Feel how smooth and silky it's become to your touch. Now, powder that one cheek and see the difference. See how the dull, drab look is gone, how your skin has taken on a new, vibrant look. I do hope you'll make the patch test and see and feel this difference for yourself. Then you'll know why so many women call Lady Esther face cream the most beautifying cream they've ever used. You see, it does all these four things. One, it thoroughly cleans your skin. Two, it softens your skin. Three, it helps nature refine the pores. And four, it leaves a smooth, perfect base for powder. Remember, you can prove all this in just 30 seconds with a patch test. So get a jar of Lady Esther four-purpose face cream tonight if you possibly can, and make the patch test at your very first opportunity.
And now the second act of Take a Letter, Darling, starring Linda Darnell as McGregor, Don Ameche as Tom Verney, and Franklin Pangborn as Atwater. It's several days after Tom Verney kissed his boss. Instead of firing Tom, she entrusted him with the important job of landing the Caldwell Tobacco Company's advertising account. And Tom's gone down to Raleigh and gone right to work on Mr. Caldwell's sister, which seems to have Mac just a little upset.
Atwater. Just listen to this newspaper story. Constant companions at Southern Play Spots are Ethel Caldwell of the fabulously wealthy tobacco family and Thomas Verney, New York advertising executive. Their whirlwind romance is the talk of Southern society.
Why, that's wonderful. It sounds as though we're practically certain of getting the Caldwell account.
If we have to get it that way, I don't want the account.
Oh, so that's the way the wind blows, eh? McGregor, you're in love with Verney.
I am not.
Well, then why are you worrying about his newspaper romance with Ethel Caldwell?
Well, I'm just tired of his ignoring my instructions.
Oh, I see.
Oh, no, you don't. He hasn't answered a wire in 2 weeks.
Well, I might point out that you haven't answered one of Jonathan Caldwell's phone calls in 2 weeks either.
Well, that's different.
Naturally.
Look, my wires to Tom were about business. Caldwell's trying to give me a romantic sales talk.
No.
Yes.
You mean that he wants to marry you? That four-time loser?
That's the idea.
I suppose that after Vernie marries Ethel Caldwell and you marry Jonathan, I won't even be a junior partner in this organization.
Don't you worry about that. I am not marrying Jonathan, and Vernie isn't going to marry Ethel.
And just how do you propose to stop him?
I'm going down to Raleigh and straighten Mr. Vernie out myself.
Oh.
And then I'm going to fire him.
Hello? Yes. Yes, she's here. For you, Mac. Hold on.
Oh, tell him I'm out.
I can't. I told him you were here.
Oh, all right. Hello?
Where can I meet you right away, McGregor?
No place. I'm taking the next train for Raleigh.
Oh, that's perfect. I'll go with you. And forget about a hotel reservation, because you'll stay with us at Caldwell Acres. Your man Vernie's there with Sister Ethel.
Well, thank you very much. Now, what was on your mind?
Well, I'll tell you about that when I get you on my home grounds with magnolias and moonlight to help me.
I will take a chance on anything if I can get down to Raleigh and get my hands on Tom Vernie.
Hey, are you in love with Vernie?
What? Of course not. I hate him. Why?
Oh, nothing. But I'm warning you. I want you myself. And I'm going to do everything I can to make you continue to hate Vernie.
Hello, Caldwell. Glad to see you.
Oh, hello, Vernie.
Sorry, Ethel and I were out riding when you and Mac arrived at Caldwell Acres.
Oh, it's just as well. I was anxious to talk to you before McGregor did anyway.
By the way, where is Mac?
She's up in her room, pouting. Coming down on the train, I found out that she's really jealous of you and my charming sister.
Well, it's about time. Ethel and I have been working hard enough at trying to make her jealous.
Well, you've certainly succeeded. The self-sufficient McGregor is just about ready to fall into your arms. If.
What do you mean, if?
If you don't weaken. It isn't enough to just make McGregor jealous.
Oh, no? Well, what would you suggest? You've had four wives. You should have learned something about women.
Well, now that you know that Mac's jealous, don't let up.
Oh, you mean really pour it on her, huh?
Yeah, that's the idea.
I get it. I can make her think I'm really in love with Ethel.
Yeah, yeah. Announce your engagement and make yourself obnoxious.
Do you think I could?
Oh, without half trying. Yeah, just be yourself.
Well, thanks. Can you imagine her trying to hold out against me with you coaching me?
Well, you know how dumb women are.
A man could never be fooled by a routine like
this. Oh, no! McGregor, I don't know why you should spend so much time worrying about Vernie. He's enjoying himself somewhere with Ethel.
I am not worrying about Vernie. I'm worrying about the Caldwell tobacco account.
Well, you certainly don't need to worry about that.
Why not?
When Vernie marries Ethel, he'll control the account.
When Vernie marries Ethel? Who said he was going to marry her?
Why, Vernie told me so himself.
When?
Well, this afternoon, when you were up in your room resting. He said he hoped you wouldn't be jealous enough to do anything foolish, but after all, he had to look out for himself.
Vernie said that?
Those were his exact words.
Why, that egomaniac, why should I be jealous of him? I'll prove to him I'm not jealous.
That's a great idea, if you can do it.
Well, I certainly can. Do you still want to marry me?
I do.
Then I do.
Do what?
I accept.
Darling.
Good night.
Me, Tom.
Go away.
But I have something important to talk over with you.
Well, I have nothing to discuss with you.
Oh, yes, you do. Caldwell just told me that you had agreed to marry him.
Well, why shouldn't I?
Being jealous of me couldn't have driven you that far.
Jealous of you? Look, do you think the fact that you're marrying Ethel Caldwell could have the slightest influence on my accepting Jonathan's proposal?
I am not marrying Ethel.
You are.
I am not. You sent me down here on business, and I've done everything you asked me to do.
I didn't ask you to marry Ethel.
And neither did Ethel. Ethel's only interest in me was in getting a good advertising campaign.
Well, you got it for her. Your pictures have been in every gossip column in the country.
They have not. Jimmy Fiddler's mad at me. Anyway, I'm talking business. Tonight, Ethel okayed the campaign layouts and signed the contract. Here it is.
Thanks.
And now I've just earned the $10,000 bonus you promised me for landing this deal, and I'm quitting.
If
effective as of right now.
Quitting? Where are you going?
To Mexico. In a trailer.
But you can't leave me now.
Oh, can't I? Well, don't let my dust get in your eyes.
Are you going alone?
Well, certainly I'm going alone.
Oh.
But just to show you how stupid a man can be, I'll tell you something. I honestly believed once that you'd be making this trip with me. Me painting and you writing portraits.
Do you mean that?
It was so real that you stubbed your toe while I was taking you through the Aztec ruins.
I did?
Yeah. And I bawled you out for wearing open-toed shoes.
You did?
Yeah. That was a fine chump. You don't love Caldwell.
Well, of course I don't love Caldwell.
You don't love anything but yourself and money. Well, you're going to have more money than you ever dreamed of. Mrs. Caldwell the Pip. You planned your life with nice, cold-blooded perfection and accomplished everything you set out to do. You're a fine, money-grubbing machine.
So that's all you think of me, huh?
That's all I think of you. As I told you once before, you're a beautiful brain in beautiful clothes, no temperature, no pulse, that's all.
Is that so? Well, as long as we're reminiscing, I gave you the answer to that one once before, too. I told you then, I'm more woman than you've ever known. Well, it's true. If it weren't, I wouldn't have lost my head and told Caldwell I'd marry him just to spite you.
What?
I told you that love could only happen to me once. And you were that once. I've always known that if I ever fell, it would be the sea dashing against rocks.
Lightning flashing across the sky and thunder rolling through the mountains.
Well?
Well, what?
Well, that's your cue. Come on, Tom. Turn on the thunder and lightning.
Thank you, Don Amici, Linda Darnell, and Franklin Pangborn for your superb performances in tonight's play. And now, before we tell you about next week's show, here's a word from one of America's foremost beauty experts, Lady Esther.
Do you know exactly what happens when you apply Lady Esther four-purpose face cream? I'll tell you. First, your skin is cleaned. Cleaned gently, but thoroughly. Even the stubborn, deeply embedded dirt in the pore openings is eased out and wiped away. Second, Lady Esther face cream loosens and absorbs the dry, clinging flakes nature is trying to throw off. That's very important, and you'll see why when you apply your face powder. You'll see how much smoother, how much younger and lovelier your powder looks on your skin. Third, Lady Esther face cream helps nature refine the pores, helps the stretched pore openings return to normal. That makes your skin look much finer and more delicate. And fourth, Lady Esther face cream leaves a perfect base for powder and makeup, smooth as velvet, but not the least bit greasy or sticky. Remember, you can prove all this in just 30 seconds with the patch test. Just rub a little Lady Esther face cream on one cheek, wipe it off, and apply your powder. Then compare that side of your face with the other. See and feel the difference. You can still make the patch test tonight if you get yourself a jar of Lady Esther four-purpose face cream.
Next week, the Lady Esther Screen Guild players will present a delightful play entitled The Shop Around the Corner. It will star Phyllis Thaxter and Van Johnson. Be sure to listen. Don Amici appears through the courtesy of Standard Brands for Chase and Sanborn. Linda Darnell can soon be seen in the 20th Century Fox production Hangover Square. Franklin Pangborn is now working in the Paramount picture You Came Along. Take a Letter, Darling was presented through the courtesy of Paramount Pictures. Producers are practically yours. Music on tonight's program was arranged and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. You save enough on the largest size jar of Lady Esther face cream to buy a box of Lady Esther face powder. Remember, ask for the largest size. This is Truman Radley speaking for Lady Esther, saying thank you and good night. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.